भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो श्रीमद् भागवतम सिक्स कैंटो चैप्टर सिक्स Diti vows to kill King Indra, beginning with text number 62. The whole time this chapter has been running, I've been meditating on this verse. And somehow today they asked me to give class, and this is a verse. Jakarta Saptada Garbham Vajrena Kanaka Prabham Rudantam Saptadaikaikam Ma Rodir Iti Tanbuna Jakarta Saptada Garbham Vajrena Kanaka Prabham Rudantam Saptadaikaikam Ma Rodir Iti Tanbuna Jakarta Saptada Garbham Vajrena Kanaka Prabham Rudantam Saptadaikaikam Marodir Iti Tanbuna Chakarta Hikat Saptada into seven pieces Garbham the embryo Vajrena by his thunderbolt Kanaka of gold, Prabham, which had the appearance, Rudantam, crying, Saptada, into seven pieces, Ekam, each one, Marodi, do not cry, Iti, thus, Tan, them, Punaha, again. After entering Diti's womb, Indra, with the help of his thunderbolt, cut into seven pieces her embryo, which appeared like glowing gold. In seven places, seven different living beings began crying. Indra told them, "Do not cry," and then he cut each of them into seven pieces again. After entering Diti's womb, Indra, with the help of his thunderbolt, cut into seven pieces her embryo, which appeared like glowing gold. In seven places, seven different living beings began crying. Indra told them, "Do not cry." And then he cut each of them into seven pieces again. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks the Indra, by his yogic power, first expanded the body of one of the one Marut into seven, and then he cut each of the seven parts of the original body into pieces. There were 49. When each body was cut into seven, other living entities entered the new bodies, and thus they were like plants, which become separate entities when cut into various parts and planted on a hill. The first body was one, and when it was cut in many pieces, many other living entities entered the new bodies. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Sabadandigam Aradanas Trinandan Daivritam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasri Gaurabhaktam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mancha Kalpa Drubhyascha Kipa Sindhu Bhavasha Pritanam Bhavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Nama. So here Indra, he took advantage that Diti became weak from her austerities. So without properly washing her mouth and washing her feet, she took rest, and she took rest at an inauspicious time. So he had disguised himself as her attendant and was serving very nicely, but he is simply waiting for the opportunity. He became very worried. She was very faithful in her execution of her austerities. So he became very, very worried. But finally, she made some tiny mistake. So he took advantage of that mistake. In the Vamana Purana, it describes he first entered her nostril, and from the nostril entered into the womb. I don't know how you go from the nostril to the womb, but that's there in Vamana Purana. So then he cut the embryo into seven pieces, and it became seven different living entities. And here it says they began to cry. Rudantam. Rudantam means to cry. It's like we were singing in Damodarastakam. Rudantam muhur netra yugmam rudantam. Rudantam muhur. Muhur means, that's Sanskrit for again and again. He was crying and rubbing his eyes again and again. So therefore, Indra, he said, Ma Ruda, Ma Ruda, don't cry, don't cry. Because he's afraid now Diti will wake up, find out what he's up to. He said, Ma Ruda, don't cry, don't cry. Then he slashed each seven beings into seven pieces. They became 49 different beings. And they were again crying. He said, Ma Ruda, Ma Ruda. When he saw that these 49 beings were there, he could understand they were not his enemy, they were his servants. Because he said, Ma Ruda, then they became known as the Maruts, the 49 different winds. So along with Indra, they came out from the womb. Thus Diti gave birth. She only wanted one son. She got 49 sons all in one shot. Because previously, women were very happy to have many children. In this Kali Yuga, they become very cruel-hearted. They only want one. And they do the same thing like Indra. They cut the other ones to pieces. Unfortunately, they haven't done any austerities, so that child is killed. This is the horrible situation of Kali Yuga. But previously, mothers were very proud to have many, many children. But now, because there's so many facilities for sense gratification, nobody wants to bother with children. They want to enjoy so many different things are there to enjoy. We've created so many different things, movie houses and DVDs and this and that, and so many planes you can fly here and there. So nobody wants to have the trouble of children. They want to enjoy life. So they become very cruel-hearted. They don't want children. But Diti must have been very happy. 49 children in one shot. So here, Srila Biswanath Chakra, because one may ask, how is it possible? He cut the living being. So there was originally one living entity in that embryo. Because we're not like the foolish scientists that say that life only begins at birth. Because by ultrasound, they can see inside the womb. You can see the child moving. You can see him sucking his thumb. He's doing so many things. Somebody just recently put some picture on some movie on Facebook with all Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam verses, that even our great sages, thousands of years before there was sonography and microscopes and telescopes and so many things, they describe completely the development of the soul. They're showing how somebody died somehow in a car accident, and then he was placed in the womb, and it shows, you know, that you can actually see the little sperms swimming around trying to fertilize the egg. And the whole scene, all the way up to how it becomes like a little berry of some sort, and then gradually the head develops and the body develops. And exactly the way modern science describes, Srimad Bhagavatam thousands of years already described, without having all these demoniac machines. And they're saying that we came from a caveman. This is their idea. And you can see the child, after he's somewhat developed, he's moving around, he's moving his hands, he's sometimes reacting to the mother's eating very pungent and spicy food, and you can see him reacting, he doesn't like it. So how they can say that life only begins when the child comes out of the womb? So if we cut the child, then there'll be seven pieces. So here Biswanath Chakravarti Thakur explains a very interesting thing. The six other living entities appeared. There was one living entity, and he remained in one piece, and six other living entities appeared and entered into each of the pieces. He anticipates that in the scientific age, people will ask, how is it possible? So he's describing. And he gives a very simple example, just like in Vrindavan, we have one plant. You just break a little piece and stick it in the ground, and it becomes another one. You break a little piece, stick it in the ground, and a beautiful little reddish, pinkish-reddish flower. So therefore, Biswanath Chakravarti very scientifically describing that another living entity enters. When we cut that plant and plant it, then another living entity enters. So in the same way, these nine maruts appeared. And because Diti had been doing some devotional service to the Lord, when she saw Indra with her 49 new sons, she was not at all angry. Her heart had become purified of anger. This is the effect of performing devotional service. Just like we sometimes sing that verse before Bhagavatam, Nasta Prayeshu Bhadrishu Nityam Bhagavata Seva. Bhagavatam Sloki Bhakti Bhavati Naistiki. Nasta Prayeshu, almost to nil, all the abhadra, inauspicious things in the heart are washed out. Nityam Bhagavata, just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Therefore, Prabhupada made this Very practical process. Every day we have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Even we are broadcasting it on the radio. The mothers who have to send their children off to school, they can sit, or somebody's sick, they can still hear the Bhagavatam class. So important is Bhagavatam class. And simply by hearing all the inauspicious things, we would think that once she understood that Indra had cheated her by disguising himself as her servant, and now had entered her womb and tried to kill her son, she would be angry. But because she was purified of anger, she was very happy. And we'll see in the next verses. There's not much purport, so we'll go on just to the next verse. Tamuchu patyamanaste sarve pranjalayo nripa kimna indra jigam sasi brataro marutastava. O king, being very much aggrieved, they pleaded to Indra with folded hands. Dear Indra, we are the Maruts, your brothers. Why are you trying to kill us? Mabaishta brataro mayam yuyam ityaha koshika ananya bhavan parsadan atmano marutam ganam. When Indra saw that actually they were his devoted followers, he said to them, if you are all my brothers, you have nothing to fear from me. Text 65. Na mamara diter garva srinivasanukampaya bahuda kulisha kshuno dronyastrena yata bhavan. Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear King Parikshit, you were burned by the Brahmastra of Aswatthama. But when Lord Krishna entered the womb of your mother, you were saved. Similarly, although the one embryo was cut into 49 pieces by the thunderbolt of Indra, they were all saved by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As Diti was doing some devotional service to Lord Vishnu, therefore they were all saved. Sakrit isvari purusham purusho yati samyatam sambatsaram kinchid unam dityaya dair archita. CC Nitai Gaur Sundar Krishna Baldao CC Radhasham Sundar Kida. Sajur Indrena Panchasad Sad Devaste Maruto Bhavan Vapoya Matrir Dosham Te Harina Soma Pakrita. If one worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original person, even once, he receives the benefit of being promoted to the spiritual world and possessing the same bodily features as Vishnu. Dishi worshipped Lord Vishnu for almost 1 year, adhering to a great vow. Because of such strength in spiritual life, the 49 Maruts were born. How then is it wonderful that the Maruts, although born from the womb of Diti, became equal to the demigods by the mercy of the Supreme Lord? So because Diti was worshipping Lord Vishnu, although she wanted to get a son who would kill Indra, that meant he should become a demon. Instead, they all became demigods. Even they hadn't done anything. It was their mother. The mother had done all the austerities and worshipped. But here the verse is saying, even if a person once worships Lord Vishnu, he goes to the spiritual world and gets the benefit of having a body, spiritual body like the Lord. Just once, the verse is saying. And Diti was worshipping for a whole year, so even her sons got the benefit that they became demigods. Though naturally, because her purpose was to create a demon who would kill Indra, because only a demon can kill would want to kill the demigods, especially the head of all the demigods, Lord Indra. By dint of her pure devotional service to the Lord, I guess you can't say pure, but by dint of her devotional service to the Lord, even they were saved. And just see, by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, they became equal to the demigods. So Sukadeva Goswami is exclaiming, how is this possible? Just see the wonder. He's just being wondrous. This is the most surprising thing. How is this possible? So he goes on. Ditirutaya dadrise kumaran anala pravan. Indrena sahitam devi paryatusyad anindita. Because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Diti was completely purified. When she got up from bed, she saw her 49 sons along with Indra. These 49 sons were all as brilliant as fire and were in friendship with Indra. And therefore she was very pleased. So here it says, by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anindita, just like we know Ninda very well, Anindita, she became completely purified. And she saw that her 49 sons were as brilliant as fire, as Anala Prabham. I was seeing this word Anala. I was thinking, what is this? Just like we sing every morning. Sansara Dava Nalalida Loka. So Anala Prabhan, Prabhan means to shine. So Anala Prabhan, to shine like fire. They were as brilliant as fire and were in friendship. So they were not at all the enemies of India, they were in friendship. And she became pleased instead of becoming more frustrated or angry. Her purpose was to get the enemy of Indra, because devotional service is so powerful, she became purified. She was also very happy. Atendram aha tataham adityanam bhava bhayavaham apatyam icchantyacharan vratam etat suduskaran. Therefore Diti said to Indra, my dear son, she became so pure, she wanted to kill him 1 minute, now the next minute she's saying, my dear son, I adhere to this difficult vow just to get a son to kill you, 12 adityas. Text 70. Eka sankalpit kalpita putra sapta sapta bhavan katam yadite viditam putra satyam katayam amrisha. I prayed only for one son, but now I see that there are 49. How has this happened? My dear son Indra, if you know, please tell me the truth. Do not speak lies. Ma Mrisa. Mrisa means lies. Mrisa. You see, she's happy. She got 49 sons and she's happy. In the modern age, if we got 49 sons, we'll cry like anything. Because we made the life so complicated. That people are saying, no, we can't afford. We know that our grandparents, they all came from big families. And they didn't have car, they didn't have television, they didn't have so many things. And somehow they managed to support a big family. And now we have now we make so much money, we have big car, we have big house, we have TV set, we have DVD, we have iPhone, we have so many things. And say, we can't afford, we have to kill this child before he comes out from the womb. A time, just like my pujari in Brindakun, he lives in a very simple house. He has 7 sons and 1 daughter. They're all living very peacefully, very happily together. Because they're always they're absorbed in worshipping Brindadevi, and they're always absorbed in chanting different types of prayers, and they live very peacefully and very happy. They may not have big opulent life. He doesn't have an iPhone. They almost didn't have TV, but when the sons got married, That's part of the culture now. You have to give a TV as a dowry. So. But they usually just watch some whatever spiritual thing comes on the TV, like that. And all living very happily together. Because of this demoniac idea of let's enjoy life like anything, therefore we cannot live peacefully. Because everybody else, we're in competition with everyone else for the enjoyment. I can remember back in the days when it was a big deal, we got a color TV. Not only was a color TV, there was radio also, and there was record player, if anybody remembers record players. there was record player. So instead of being very happy, we were always fighting. I want to play the latest Beatle record, and my sister wants to watch As the Cookie Crumbles, some stupid cereal on the TV, and somebody else wants to hear the news on the radio. So we're just fighting. We have thing that 100 years ago nobody could imagine such a thing. You can see sound, pictures coming from, you know, thousands of miles away. You can hear music just like you're sitting in an orchestra, you know, in the theater. So many things. People 100 years ago couldn't imagine such a thing. And we think, oh, if we had such a thing, we'd be happy. Instead, we were just fighting. We see, just like United States, the biggest, so-called biggest country in the world, and there every day somebody shooting somebody for no reason. So much crime is there. They think, oh, they're very well. Everybody wants to go to America. Huh? They're singing every morning. Moraya bilas America odiovas naene heribos ada rup dollar ruparashi. But so much crime is there. Last election, nobody voted for who he wanted. He voted against who he didn't want. And the biggest problem of the American election was one of them won. And such characters, both are completely corrupt demons like anything. This is a so-called advancement. There's no advancement. Just what makes us completely crazy. Therefore, we're thinking, oh, if we get so many children, it's too big a problem. Just like there's one airline in Africa, Kalula Airlines, and they're famous for making funny announcements when they're making this normal thing, you know, that when the oxygen comes, the thing will fall, and this and that, and all these stupid announcements we have to listen to every single time. So you know that it says that if you have children, then you have to, you know, put your mask first and attend to your children. So the way they make the announcement, if you brought children with you, why? Everybody knows an airplane's a big hassle. They start crying and there's nowhere you can go. You're stuck, you know, and they're right behind you. This kid, his whole flight is crying. So we're just thinking children is a big trouble. So we want to kill them before they come out of the womb. But here we see Diti is very happy. 49 sons all in one shot. Miraculously. So she's very happy. She wants to know. She's asking Indra, how did this all happen? Mahamrsa, don't speak lies. Tell me what happened. Now they're friends. Indra uvacha ambateham vyavasitam upadaryagato yatontikam labdantaro chidam garvam arta buddhirna dharmadrik. Indra replied, "My dear mother, because I was grossly blinded by selfish interests, I lost sight of religion. When I understood that you were observing a great vow in spiritual life, I wanted to find some fault in you. When I found such a fault, I entered your womb and cut the embryo to pieces." Purport. When Diti, Indra's aunt, explained to Indra without reservation that she had what she had wanted to do, Indra explained his intentions to her. Thus both of them, instead of being enemies, freely spoke the truth. This is the qualification that results with contact from Vishnu. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Verse Number 12, Yasyasti Bhaktir Bhagavata Kinchana Saivar Gunaistar Tatra Samasate Sura. If one develops a devotional attitude and becomes purified by worshipping the Supreme Lord, all good qualities are certainly manifest in his body. Because of being touched by worship of Vishnu, both Diti and Indra were purified. So everywhere we see in the scriptures, always glorifying devotional service as being so powerful to purify us. In fact, we know there's one verse that said, even if one has so many material qualifications, but he's not a devotee, then he's considered to be without any qualification. And even a devotee, he may not have so many material qualifications, but because he's Vaishnava, he's most qualified. Prabhupada always gives the example, just like big professors, they have big letters after their name, PhD and this and that and so many things. But they're all drunkards and woman hunters, meat eaters, trying to invent more ways to, science is just meant to invent more ways to enjoy this world and to deny. They always make so many crazy theories. Now this Stephen Hawking, he made one theory, the grand design. Nobody was satisfied with the Big Bang, so he created the grand design. But once you pull it apart, our Vyasaki Prabhu, he so simply, I read his book last night, it's so simple, I thought it was going to be a very heavy scientific book, and just, but it's so much speculation that it's like a kindergarten kid could tear it apart. He's just saying, well, matter just spontaneously springs into existence. That's just its nature, just like 2 and 2 is 4. Ah, so we can say the same thing. God created the world just like 2 and 2 is 4. It's the same thing. They have no evidence whatsoever. It's just all speculation. So, and simple guy, he has no education. He's living in the temple, performing devotional service, and he has all good qualities. No meat eating, no women hunting, no drinking and all this thing. And he understands the purpose of life. So even one may have so many qualifications, but he has no bhakti, then he has no qualification. And even if one has no material qualification, but he's got bhakti, he's a very respectable person. Nowadays, our criteria for respect, if anybody got money, anyhow they got money, then they're a respectable person. Doesn't matter how he got that money, somehow he's got money, he's a very respectable person. This is our only criteria for respect. Somebody's high class if he has money. But we see all the high-class people just eating meat and drinking wine like it was water and doing so many simple things. So what is the high class? This is not high class. This is lowest class. So this materialist civilization will never bring happiness to the world. It will only bring more and more frustration and more... We see everyone is fighting because they're fighting over the there's only so many resources of the material nature. So every nation is fighting for every other nation. They say the next war is going to be about water. I don't know what's going to happen in India. We have more than 1 billion people here and we're just pumping water out of the earth like anything. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm so shocked. I see in Vrindavan everywhere big buildings, and we already have problem for sweet water. Where all the sweet water for all these big buildings are going to come? We're just being exploited. Yes, live in our big high-rise. I saw the first high-rise in Vrindavan. They built some big building. First high-rise. This is something nice. But one day you live in your high-rise, you have water to drink. Then what will you do? So this materialistic advancement never brings happiness. Only brings trouble and trouble. But here we see even a little bit. It says even if you just perform one time worship Lord Vishnu, you can go to the spiritual world. What to speak of constant engagement in the service of the Lord. So Diti, for 1 year, she was engaged in the service of the Lord. Her heart became completely purified. So all throughout the scriptures, always glorifying this. A devotional service, our in Mahadhuri Kadambini, Bismillah Chakravarti Thakur says, it is all-powerful and supremely independent. All-powerful and supremely independent. Just like everything else, gyan, you have to study so many books, you have to become renounced, practically. The only gyanis are all sannyasis. Is be completely renounced, and everything depends on something else, and to do karma. Of course, this one was, Kasyapa was clever, he engaged her in the service of the Lord, so it wasn't ordinary karma. But we see small mistakes, you didn't wash her feet after eating. What's the big deal? We can't even understand, nobody in West could understand. You didn't wash her feet after eating, what is that? Because everybody wears shoes even in the house, so nobody could think of washing his feet after eating. Such a tiny little mistake, and the whole sacrifice got, just like Twasta. He also wanted to create some demon to kill Indra. So he did some sacrifice. In that sacrifice, he said, Indra, Shatru. Now we know Shatru means enemy. So he was doing the sacrifice to get someone who would be the enemy of Indra. Now in Sanskrit, there's different types of pauses. There's a little pause, there's a medium pause, and a big pause. And those pauses can change the, just like we say Krishna Bhakti, but actually technically it's Krishnasya Bhakti, the Bhakti of Krishna, Krishnasya Bhakti. But by Samasa, in Sanskrit, we can join the two words together and it creates the possessive automatically. So we say Krishna Bhakti without any, hardly any gap. Krishna Bhakti. It means the same thing, the Bhakti of Krishna. So he wanted Indra Shatru, the enemy of Indra. But he said Indra, then he paused and said Shatru. So it became Indra, Indra became the enemy. Indra Shatru, just like, you know, in the Ever Well Wisher film, and I agree with saying he was trying to understand Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, oh, the king. So it's oh, the king. Some king was named oh, is standing in opposition. So you do a pause, you say, oh, the king, means the king is named oh. Or is it oh, the king, oh, my dear king? He was trying to understand. So like that, Indra Shatru, Indra became the enemy. Just, you can't even understand what was the mistake. I just spent 10 minutes trying to explain, you still don't understand. But he made such a tiny mistake, and the whole sacrifice got failed. Karma is dependent on so many things. But bhakti is not dependent on anything. Jiva Goswami gives an example in Bhakti Sandarbh from, I believe, Skanda Puran. There was one sparrow. This is a funny type of bird. I see that I have not been any place in the world where there's no sparrow. We go so many places, we don't see coquillas, we don't see, you know, other things. But sparrow is there everywhere, all the way from the Himalayas down to the tropical beaches. There's still sparrow. So some sparrow was there, sitting on outside of a Vishnu temple. So one hawk came. So that hawk attacked the sparrow, and the sparrow was flying around. He was doing circumambulating the Vishnu temple. And the hawk caught him and killed him. But because he was doing circumambulation of Lord Vishnu, immediately he was taken back to Vaikuntha. He's a bird. What does he know about devotional service? Doesn't even know. It doesn't even depend on your knowledge that you're performing devotional service. Therefore, we go on Sankirtan, we engage the karmi, somehow they get to them, take a book. Prabhupada wrote that letter to me. Even if they touch it, their life will be changed. That letter was written to me. Without their knowing, they're making some spiritual. It's so powerful. This bird, he was just flying around like that. He doesn't know. Bhakti is not dependent on anything, supremely independent, supremely powerful. So we're very fortunate. Srila Prabhupada has engaged us in this wonderful process of devotional service. And especially in this Kali Yuga, it's become very, very simple because we're very lazy. I've already described how we're simply interested in making material advancement like anything. And we have no time. We try to approach the people, "My dear sir, please say, I have no time." But devotional service is so powerful, even they have no time, it's just so powerful. So Prabhupada's engaging in this process of devotional service. We're making advancement on the way back home, back to Godhead. And in this Kali Yuga, it is very simple. Simply you have to chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Hare.
And so powerful, even if somebody hears, they become benefited. Even they don't want spiritual life. Just like one time we had one godbrother, Vishnujan, who had a bus, Vishnujan Swami. And he would travel all around America in this bus. He said it was just like a big fish swimming around this ocean of material existence. Then he'd come to some city, and from the belly of the fish, you know, a whole festival would unfold, because underneath the buses were all the luggage, you know. So all of a sudden this stage would fold out, all the instruments would come, sound system, the prasad cart, everything, and they would do some festival in the middle of some city like that. So I saw this one businessman passing by every day. One day he stopped me and said, "Every day you people are sitting here chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I go home at night, I try to go to sleep, and all I hear is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna." I was envious. I wish when I go to sleep, all that would come in my ear is Hare Krishna. So even they don't want spiritual life. This process of devotional service that Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given for this age, so powerful. Even you don't want devotional service, you're getting, even you don't want spiritual advancement, you're making spiritual advancement. So we'll stop here. Whoever writes the verses should note we got up to next verse is what? Okay, we're up to 72. The verse tomorrow is 72. Any questions, comments, arguments, realizations? Go ahead, speak it out. Relay the question to everyone else. Oh, here comes our wire. That's the most famous part of this whole pastime, is when Indra cuts the embryo into seven pieces. Not the verse, but this particular part of the pastime. Because that's the main pastime, right? When he cuts, and then he says, "Maruta, Maruta." So he said, "Don't cry." So they became the Maruts. I don't know, I can never find the spot again. You know, so much stuff comes on Facebook, it just comes and goes and comes and goes. Probably you could look on YouTube. It's Death and Born Again, something like that. Just search for Death and Born Again. Yes? Yeah.
Is the best name not directly related? What is Akyata Supriti and not Akyata Bhakti? Supriti is my essence.
I don't know, I never heard this word Akyata Bhakti. So I can't say anything. I don't want to speculate. But I saw this in Bhakti Sandarbha, that he's explaining how Bhakti is completely independent. Even the sparrow didn't know. He got, it's like, I don't hear the story anymore, but when I was first became a devotee, they told me, they're describing the glories of prasadam. And there was one, some sages were in the forest, and they cooked some feast, and they made offering to their little Thakurji, and they honored prasad. There was something left over, so they sprinkled it under a tree so the animals would get benefit. Describing how powerful prasadam is. And they went away. Meanwhile, there was one sinful man in the forest. He'd actually killed even a Brahmin. And he was, by the results of his sinful activities, he was lost in the forest with nothing to eat for several days. He saw that there was a fire here. He began to look around to see if there's any scraps. Under the tree, he found the scraps. He immediately ate those scraps. But the reaction for all his sinful activities appeared in the form of a very hungry tiger, who immediately jumped on him and killed him and ate him. But because he had just eaten the remnants offered by these great devotees of the Lord, immediately he went to Vaikuntha. Then a herd of mad elephants came rushing through the forest, and they stomped the tiger to death. But because he'd eaten the man who'd eaten the prasadam, he also went to Vaikuntha. So these types of stories are there in the scripture, how powerful devotional service is. So just like, Putana, she wanted to kill Krishna, but because she offered a little milk, Krishna accepted her all the way up to the Golok. Jiva Goswami, in his commentary, he said she went all the way to Golok. Because even though she came to kill Krishna, because she acted like a mother and offered him milk. It's explained by our acharyas that Lord Shiva, he drank all the poison. Because Shiva, he's also within Krishna, so he drank all the poison. And Krishna, he doesn't do the killing. That's done by Mahavishnu. Krishna doesn't choose. So he drank the milk. So then Mahavishnu is also there within Krishna. The Mahavishnu sucked out her life. So everybody gets to take part in this pastime. So because she offered a little bit of milk, then Krishna gave her. But Jiva Goswami, there's a special type of Salokya liberation in Goloka. She's there in Goloka, but because she wanted to kill Krishna, she doesn't get any. He says, like a mother. Like a mother means nurse. She has the form of a nurse, but she never has any direct service to Krishna. She got all the way to Goloka by offering milk, but because her intention was to kill, then she never gets any direct association with Krishna, even in the Goloka. It's amazing. Bhakti is the most amazing thing. So if there's no other questions, we can all fall down at very soft. It's time for prasad. Quick.
Can we mention about Steve Hawkins and Grand Design? Rocky mentioned about Steve Hawkins and the Grand Design, how Vasek told that part. Can you give reference to it, find more about that? Can you please give reference to how we can find more about that?
Go on Amazon and type in, Stephen Hawkins on trial. Anyway, we can all fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's engaged us in this wonderful process of devotional service. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.